The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
If Britain crashes out of the European Union at the end of October without a deal, then it looks almost inevitable that we will end up having the physical border on this country reintroduced. Isn't that the case, Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs Simon Coveney?
No, well, first of all, hi, Matt. Thanks for having me on. No, I don't think that's the case.
How could it not be?
Well, I mean, what we're saying is that first of all, we launched a paper today that has a whole series of things in it, but the most difficult in terms of contingency planning for a no-deal Brexit is the issue that you're starting with now. And we have been and we're continuing to talk to the European Commission about how we can fulfil the dual obligation of, one, protecting a peace process on the island, preventing hard border infrastructure, and then secondly, making sure that Ireland stays in the European single market.
How can you stay in the single market and protect the integrity of the single market if you don't operate a border with Northern Ireland, which as part of the United Kingdom is outside the European Union?
Yeah, and that's a fair question. And the answer is that there will need to be checks somewhere. But we have said very clearly, and the European Commission, I think, understands this very well, that we're not going to create security risk by putting them on the border. And we are essentially, and as I say, have been for some time, talking to the European Commission about how we can minimise the need for checks, but at the same time recognise the fact that Northern Ireland will be in a different single market.
Okay.
It won't be operating to the same regulatory structures of the EU, and therefore we don't provide some checks to protect the integrity of Irish products being sold out of Ireland. We will essentially get dragged out of the single market ourselves.
Indeed. So how do you have those checks? If they're not done at the border, where would they be done?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to get dragged into talking about the detail of that with you, Matt.
But sorry, that's absolutely essential because let me put this to you, Minister. The reason presumably we don't want this done at the border would cause enormous queues. It would cause enormous tailbacks. People who have nothing to declare in relation to the movement of goods and services who want to go about their daily work will get caught up in these border patrols, right? So if you decided you wanted to have some sort of other location a few miles south of the border where trucks would go to and whatever, how would you actually make sure that that would work?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that's what we're doing. But, I mean, we have 30,000 people a day cross the border. Every month, 180,000 lorries, over 200,000 vans, 1.9 million cars cross that border. We are not going to put physical infrastructure in place that fundamentally prevents that movement from happening.
But if you don't, how do you police the trucks and the cars that are carrying goods across the border?
Yeah, but what we do need to do is agree with the Commission how we can put checking systems in place in places that don't create a security risk, but that will provide the reassurance necessary for the European Commission to support that approach.
But hang on, what sort of checks? These can't be technological checks because the British have been mocked for saying that there could be technology could be used to do it. So if you're talking about physical inspections...
We've never said that technology solves this problem.
Fine.
It might make it a bit easier in certain places.
So you're talking about physical checks?
Yeah, Matt, just give us a chance to answer your question. It may be possible to use technology to help pay tariffs, to register customs, to pre-check in advance, and so on before you move goods. But certainly, the most difficult area here is what's called SPS checks, which is sanitary and phytosanitary checks for food product. And most of the product that travels back and forth across the border on this island is actually linked to food and agri-food, and that's what makes it so difficult. It's also going to be very difficult in a no-deal scenario because a tariff would apply, particularly for product coming from Northern Ireland into the Republic of Ireland, because the EU will impose that under WTO rules. So we are talking about, in a no-deal Brexit scenario, of a fundamental disruption to the all-island economy in terms of how it seamlessly functions today. But we are also insistent, and the European Commission is working with us on it, that we would avoid the security risks that would be associated with checks on the border itself. And so we have to look at other ways of doing that well away from the border. But I can tell you this is a suboptimal solution. That is why we are so supportive of the backstop, which avoids
all of
this
stuff. Hold on, I'll come to the backstop in a second. But just one other point in relation to this. If you're not going to do it at the border, and I fully understand the reasons why you don't want to do it at the border, right?
Yeah.
If you're expecting people to voluntarily drive trucks to some other location, which seems to be the only way that you could logically expect to do it, aren't you been very trusting there? Isn't that going to be a charter for all sorts of smuggling to go on, breaches of the rule and the rules? And then will the European Commission really allow you to do that?
No, well, I mean, the job of the European Commission is to make sure that the single market and its integrity is protected. But they're also trying to ensure, and have been very public about this, that we do it in a way that protects the very delicate relationships north and south of the island of Ireland. And they're working with us on it. It's difficult. I won't pretend that it's not. We are trying to design a system that does that as best we can. But, you know, it's not going to be a system without an awful lot of hassle and cost. The kind of trading environment that we enjoy today on this island will no longer exist. But we will ensure that it's done in a way that doesn't create security risk, which I think is what people have feared most. But, you know, this is the consequence of Britain and the UK as a whole leaving the European Union with no deal in place. And if that is...
But how much of that is down to the Irish
government's
fault?
...insist upon, we have to have a contingency plan for that eventuality, and we will
okay.
have.
Okay, yeah, but what about the contingency plan perhaps relaxing the demands in relation to the backstop? And let me just make the point to you, Minister, that while the backstop may have been actually very, very well intentioned to ensure that Britain could not leave the European Union without doing a deal, that the backstop has backfired because Theresa May was unable to get it through the British Parliament. And ironically, the objections to the backstop itself has now created the very situation that you wanted to avoid, which is going to be the restoration of a hard border. If you point out all of the catastrophic damage that could be done by a no-deal Brexit, is it time to relax the backstop so as to make sure that that does not happen?
Well, first of all, I mean, there's a number of things there, and I think you're falling into a trap that many people have fallen into that isolates the backstop as the only problem here for the British system. I don't think that's true, and I think that's borne out by many votes in the Westminster Parliament.
It's the one that's most relevant to us.
No, the backstop became a totem issue for some people in the British Parliament and for some political parties there. But the differences in the Parliament in Westminster were much more fundamental than that. That's why when you looked at, for example, the support or lack of support for the Chequers deal, which dealt with many other issues in terms of the kind of trading relationship that Britain was looking for with the EU, there was a fundamental difference of opinion within the British system. So the backstop is certainly an issue, but it's also a hugely important protection for the island of Ireland as a whole. And the backstop was designed with and by the British government just as much as it was by the EU
yeah,
and the Irish government.
Yeah, but it didn't get through the British Houses of Parliament. The deal,
well,
Theresa May's deal is effectively dead. The deal is going to get through under Boris Johnson or Jeremy Hunt?
Well, we'll have to wait and see. Both of them have voted for it already. They've said now that they want it changed, now that they're standing for the leadership of the Conservative Party. But both Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt on more than one occasion voted for the withdrawal agreement in full.
That was then. Don't we need to deal with the realities of the situation we're in now?
And I think we are dealing with the realities. But, you know, my job is to make sure that Ireland doesn't get steamrolled in this process at the end.
Yeah, but isn't there the great danger that the very thing you sought to avoid, you're actually managing to create?
No, that's not the case. Because if we agree to do away with the backstop...
Or put a temporary time limit on it?
No, sorry. We don't have answers on the border. The alternative arrangements that we have heard some propose effectively don't do the job of the backstop. And so any alternative solution at the moment, certainly that I've seen, is about preventing physical border infrastructure on the border itself, but it certainly isn't about facilitating frictionless trade on the island of Ireland, which is what the backstop is about, through regulatory alignment. So I think it's important that, having spent 2.5 years negotiating a compromise for both sides, that was supported by the British government and by a significant number of parliamentarians in the UK, that we actually stand up for that agreement.
Yeah, but hold on a second. Is that still relevant? Given that the British government is going to change in its composition under a new leader, and that new leader, be it either Boris Johnson more likely or possibly Jeremy Hunt, is going to come to power effectively on a platform of a no-deal Brexit unless there are significant changes to the existing deal. Does that not mean that what has been agreed is redundant and you have to face up to either giving way in some way on the backstop to get a new deal or face a no-deal Brexit?
Well, I mean, we're happy to see the deal changed, but not in the context of reopening the negotiation on the withdrawal agreement, which in effect is simply the divorce arrangement, if you like, the legal arrangement. But the EU has always said that it will change the future relationship declaration. In other words, the kind of future relationship that the UK is looking for. But to give us the time and space to negotiate that future relationship, we need a withdrawal agreement in place that gives us the transition period for 2 to 4 years and the certainty that comes with that to allow for the time and space to get all of those deals done. And that's what we're saying. The EU has been very reasonable on this, in my view. They've said if the UK wants a different deal in terms of the permanent future relationship, then that's up to the UK and we'll negotiate it with them. But the issues that are dealt with in the withdrawal agreement are core issues for Britain, for Ireland, for the UK, and they spent nearly 3 years negotiating the content of that, and the EU isn't going to start again.
Okay, one final thing.
What I think, you know, the a new British Prime Minister may or may not look for, we'll have to wait and see, is potentially a change to the future relationship aspiration that they want. They may look for more reassurances. We will do what we can to try to avoid a no-deal Brexit. But what I won't do, and I don't think what the Taoiseach will do it either, is to sign up to something that we know is storing up huge problems, political problems for Ireland, in an attempt to try and solve the British problem.
Yeah, but look at the enormous problems that will be caused by a no-deal Brexit. We had Pascal Donohue on the programme recently when the summer economic statement came out, and effectively he admitted that the estimate is that you could have a hole in the public finances created of about $6.5 billion next year, $6 billion per annum over the coming years. You know, it could be actually an awful lot worse because who knows what the consequences are going to be. To avoid the damage that is done to the immediate loss of 50,000 jobs, which has been estimated, all the other things. Is it not incumbent on you to change things?
What you're saying to me is that I should change the Irish position on the back of a threat, and I won't do that.
But maybe change the Irish position on the back of the reality of the situation you face.
We have always negotiated on the base of reality, unlike other people, quite frankly. The construct and the design of the backstop faced up to the reality of the choices that the United Kingdom have made. It was a British decision to leave the European Union. It was a British decision to set a whole series of red lines. It was a British decision to decide on the timelines around Article 50. It was a British decision to look to extend the backstop to make it UK-wide, which Ireland advocated for and tried to show flexibility on to help Britain avoid customs checks between Great Britain and Northern Ireland. So we have shown an ability to be flexible, recognising the complexity of the challenges that Brexit throws up. But what I won't do is, because we are now coming to a very difficult choice point, if you like, in these negotiations, throw away the benefits of all of the negotiation of the last 3 years. A British Prime Minister has a choice to make too, because it will be a British choice if they choose a no-deal Brexit, not an Irish one. And for us, we need to be firm and fair and respectful of the British position.
Okay.
But we also need to be consistent. And the one thing that Ireland has been right the way through this process, we have been absolutely consistent in terms of what we're looking for, and we've been consistent in terms of trying to work with both the UK and the EU to try to get there. And that's the way it'll stay.
Thank you very much. Taoiseach and Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.